This week, the last day of school for the horror pod class, we are talking about all of the wonderful things to look forward to this summer, including all of the wonderful literature and movies that you have to catch this summer. Welcome to episode 41, season 2 of the Horror Podcast. My name is Tyler, and school is out! School is out for the summer. It took so freaking long, but I am done. So, I'm not a mild-mannered teacher, at least not for the next, like, 4 weeks. Actually, shit. Zombie 101 starts in, like, a few weeks, so, I guess I'm still a mild-mannered teacher. But when I'm not teaching about zombies, I run the shambling media Goliath that is Signal Horizon with my buddy Mike over here, who also happens to be my co-host of the Horror Podcast. Mike, tell me you have some really cool summer plans that you're excited about.
I'm going to do the same thing I do every year, which is I make my pilgrimage back to the United States, to the holiest of sites in the United States, which is the Costco.
Costco.
And I buy all my stuff. Yeah.
Very good. As a recent purchaser of a Costco account, I can tell you it is everything people make it out to be.
It's cool. Yeah, no, it's great. I like to go back to the United States, hang out with the friends and family, do the Zombie 101 thing, go to Worlds of Fun, Oceans of Fun. It's going to be awesome. I love the States. Fun.
Woohoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't sound too exciting to you, but hey, whatever.
Hey, man. No, I would imagine if I only get to come back and visit here once a year, I would, make the best of it. So
yeah, with Costco.
Super cool.
Make the best of it with Costco. This episode of the Horror Podcast brought to you by Costco. When you need four, nobody needs 4 gallons of mayonnaise, but hey, we got it.
This is a true story. I bought the largest container of pickles last week, and the house ate them in 2.5 days. I was like, Jesus Christ, what happened to all the pickles? Yeah, well, some things you do need like 8 gallon jugs of. Mayonnaise is probably not one of them, but whatever. I'm not judging.
All right, cool, man.
Christ, let's move on.
Let's move on. Hey, man, this week, what are we doing? What are we doing this week? This week's different.
It's a summer preview week, Mike. Summer preview.
All right, awesome. So we're going to be talking about all the movies that we are excited about and all the books that we're excited about this summer. But before we get there, Tyler, what are you watching in case anybody cares?
Yeah. So first off, everyone should go watch The Perfection on Netflix. Okay. One of our writers saw it at Fantastic Fest and was like, this is probably going to be on your radar. It wasn't his favorite movie there, but he's like, it was interesting and it did some cool shit. So Netflix snapped it up after Fantastic Fest and just released it. And I really dig it. It is like a combination of, like, it's half like zombie outbreak horror film. Okay. And then there's about 20 minutes of like an Ocean's 11 caper film. And then there's 20 minutes of like Boxing Helena. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, the last 20 minutes are like a weird combination of Boxing Helena and maybe American Mary thrown in. It is just such a weird hodgepodge of a movie that you got to check it out. So okay. I really enjoyed it. I'm also reading Zombie Theory, a reader, which is an edit anthology of super smart critical essays on the zombie canon. It's edited by Sarah Juliet Laro. And I totally dig some of the essays in it. In fact, it was given to us by one of our listeners who sent it along. I was like, check this out. I think you might like it and you might be able to use it for Zombie 101. So far, so good. I'm totally digging it.
Awesome.
Yeah. What about you, Mike? What you reading, watching, all that jazz?
I think we're going to get to what I'm reading a little bit later, but I'm watching Chernobyl. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah. I've got to watch it. I've heard enough people whose opinion I really value say it's horrifically hard to watch, but also amazing.
Wow. And not only did you hear that from a lot of people whose opinion you value, you heard it from me too. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, no, it is really, really a fantastic look at the disaster. But I think that the thing that listeners to the Horror Pod Class will be particularly attuned to is that they use a lot of the motifs and techniques that horror films use in order to present a compelling, true narrative. It's super cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's got a whole bunch of actors that are really great. It's got, you know, a story. I heard, I listened to the Slash Film podcast, which is excellent. They do great work there. But I heard somebody describe it as, it's about a subject that I thought I was really knowledgeable in, and then they introduce all of the nuance and all of the technicality to it, and it's like, holy shit, I knew nothing about how awful it could have been. I know how bad it was, but no idea that it could have been this ginormous disaster. So I think that's reason enough to check it out. It seems kind of right up my alley. So, and again, something that I think I could probably talk the wife into, who is not necessarily a massive horror fan. So,
yep, Chernobyl, the gateway drug to horror.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yep,
dog.
All right, buddy, what have we got for dark corners of the web this week?
Dark corners of the web.
Well, we have something different. This is the final episode of the season. So we encourage all of our listeners, everybody that's checking stuff out, to write their own fiction, because we proudly are opening our submission window tomorrow. We're recording this on June 4th. Our submission window opens June 5th and runs until August 21st. And we want to publish your stuff. We're going to pay 3 cents a word, up to $90, and encourage everybody, whether it be short fiction, longer short stories, up to 5,000 words, or even flash fiction. We are really excited to publish your fiction at Signal Horizon and to allow it to be a part of the Horror Pod Class as well, as we continue to produce our 0 hour series of original fiction. So we're super excited that in the very near future, we could have a dark corner of the web that is brought to you by us and an amazing author out there that has used our platform to tell their story.
I love it, dude. That's it. That's your summer assignment. Write us some fiction.
Yeah. Write us your fiction. No, send it to submissions@signalhorizon.com and we'll totally read it and we'll get back to you. And if we like it, we would like to publish. We're going to start with one a month, probably, depending on the length of it. But as we gain steam and read more and more stuff, we hope that it will be that platform. The smarter, the better, I would say. We don't want your generic stuff. We don't want something that has been recycled. We want to read your fiction that has something to say that is just deeper than, whether it be gore or, fear or whatever. Hopefully it has some symbolism or some other stuff that, maybe somebody could use in the classroom.
Or Rick and Morty fanfic. We're into that too. So where do they send it again?
They can send it to submissions@signalhorizon.com/gmail.
All right. Sounds good. Link in the show notes. All right, buddy. How do you want to do this? Do you want to go down the horror movies and then talk about the books? Do you want to do one in one? Do you want to just mix it up? Do you just want to have a free for all, a melee, a battle royale, if you will?
So here's the thing. You're the literature guy. I'm the cinema guy, I guess. So let's go back and forth. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Does that make sense? Yeah, let's do it. All right, cool. Okay, what you got?
And then I have a game to play.
Okay, oh, at the God. End. All right, whatever. Yeah. Okay, sounds good. Nobody will be listening by then. Tyler, take it away. What are you excited about this summer?
June 14th, The Dead Don't Lie come out. All right? The Dead Don't Lie has a cast.
The Dead Don't
that
Die.
That is bonkers. Okay? It's got Bill Murray in it. Okay? It also has Adam Driver. It's got Steve Buscemi, Austin Butler, Justin Clark. Like, I mean, these are like who's who's of, you know, whatever. The story, the tagline is, your peaceful town of Centerville finds itself battling a zombie horde as the dead start rising from their graves. It comes out on the 14th. It's like a zombie comedy with Bill Murray, Adam Driver, and the whole cast. So I'm super stoked for it. I'm actually catching a press screening of it tomorrow. So you'll probably be able to read a review of this movie, maybe even before the episode comes out.
Really? But, all right. Good stuff.
Most excited, probably. It's in my zombie canon. It looks funnier than shit. So go check out The Dead Don't Die. All right. So here's how I'm going to do the movies, okay? I am really excited about this, but I have upside and downside listed to both, you know, to every movie that we do. So clearly, the upside is this incredible cast. Let's spend a couple of minutes. Do you think the zombie canon as a whole is played out? Because I listed that as a potential downside to the movie.
Well, every time you think it's played out, it just comes right back. So probably
it's
not.
It's like it can't die.
It's like it can't die, yeah. I mean, everybody's thought it's been played out for a long time. It's not like, it seems like we're stuck in a zombie cycle right now. I realize that, but I still think there's room for a little bit more, especially a funny movie. I think there's room for another funny zombie movie. Yeah.
All right. So I would say this is one both of us are looking forward to.
Oh yeah, totally.
All right. So two weird, disfigured monster thumbs up, I guess. Zombie thumbs up.
Yep, you got it.
All right. What's our first book?
All right. First book, I'm going to put two of them together because these are books that have only been out in hard copy and trade paperbacks coming out this summer. First one, Cabin at the End of the World.
All right.
Yeah, so there's a trade paperback coming out for that. If you've missed it, because it was only in hardback, and I know that the ebook was pretty pricey there for a while. Now's your chance to check out Paul Tremblay's really, really great novel, Cabin at the End of the World. We'll put a link in the show notes to Tyler's review from it from about a year ago. It's a little bit old news, but if you've missed it, definitely check out that trade paperback. Another one that is finally coming to trade paperback is Flight or Fright, 17 Turbulent Tales by Stephen King and Bev Vincent. It's a bunch of reprints, not particularly good. I would totally skip that one. I'm totally serious. I read it and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. You're like charging money for this. Some of the stories were like super old. I mean, yeah, it had, Terror at 30,000 Feet, which, like, if you haven't read that or seen the Twilight Zone episode, like, that would be awesome, but come on.
It's Richard Matheson, right?
Yeah. That's the same guy that wrote I Am Legend and a whole bunch of other like really great stuff. And it's not saying that there's not great stuff in there. It's just that, man, it's just a lot of reprints. And then you got a new one by Stephen King, which is a total turd. And so he's got a new short story in there that's just a total stinker. But then you've also got a really great story by Joe Hill in there that is one of my favorite short stories ever. So anyways,
I have heard it's pretty well dominated by like white dudes too, right? Like there's not a lot of diversity in this anthology.
Well, there's not, but when most of the stuff comes from the 50s, come on.
That's true. Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Yeah, so we say pick up Cabin at the End of the World, Cabin at the End of the World, maybe skip, Flight or Fright?
I'd say skip it unless you've got somebody in your family or you are like a particular like, you know, aviation junkie or something like that. If you're like into that kind of stuff, then yeah. But yeah, if you're just looking for horror, yeah, keep on rolling, man. Pick up Cabin at the End of the World.
Very good. Okie dokie. Moving quickly along to a movie that comes out June 21st. So not too far from now. It's the new Child's Play remake or reboot or whatever you want to call it. All right. So the log line on it is a mother gives her son a toy doll for his birthday, unaware of its more sinister nature. And from everything that I've been able to parse out, they have removed all of the like devil worship possession thread that runs through the the original series, and focuses more on like sentient AI or malevolent AI or something like that. So there's none of like the serial killer stuff that's in the first one.
So they retconned Chucky.
Kind of. Oh, yeah. Man. And it's like
Child's Play canon is near and dear to my heart. And so this hurts.
I mean, are people that freak out about Child's Play. In fact, I was reading on kind of film horror Twitter today. People were ranking their favorite Child's Play movies. And if I may admit, between, you know, God and country and the walls of my studio here and the 42 people that tune in every week, they're okay. But I could really take or leave the franchise. So I guess maybe I'm looking forward to this. Here's why I'm looking forward to this. Okay. Here's my reasons to be excited. Mark Hamill plays the voice of Chucky. Now, if you're not super into like animation, or you're just like only a Star Wars person, you're like, that doesn't make any sense. But Mark Hamill played in the Batman animated series, The Joker, and is absolutely fucking great at that. So his VO work is spot on. So I'm really excited to see it in the movie.
Yeah. So it's pretty much like a throwback to when you were 12, when you were watching the Batman, the animated series, and Child's Play was relevant. Excellent.
Hey, again, nostalgia is a fickle bitch, man. So it just happens to be hitting the right spot. My downside, though, it's that this seems just like another Child's Play movie. And, like, I don't know. It's not really my jam. And this new doll doesn't look as scary or as cool as the old doll. And kind of sucks a little. So that's my downside. I am giving it a tentative weird doll hand thumbs up. Tentatively. It's wavering, though.
Yeah, I'm going to skip it. I'm not excited about it.
Nah. Yeah. All right. That's fair. This is definitely not your jam, but I will tell you, last thing I'll say about this movie, it looks like the heroine is Aubrey Plaza from like Parks and Rec and all that jazz. So I'm cautiously optimistic with her too, because I like her.
Yep. Okay. People got to make money somehow.
Exactly. Yep. Go Mark Hamill. Make your money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's next in the world of literature?
All right. Hey, you want to hear about some more Paul Tremblay?
Fuck yeah, dude. Right. I love him.
Okay. Paul Tremblay has got a new collection of short stories called Growing Things, and it is coming out, and it's coming out July 2nd. And it looks like super cool. We've got a copy. I've read a couple of the stories from it, and it is really, really good. There are, and I will tell you this, there are a lot of tie-ins with some of his other work.
Like what?
No spoilers, man. Come on, dude.
Fuck that. I've read, I've read most of his shit. What is referenced in it?
So,
I mean, ring that spoiler bell if you want to.
So here's what I got. I've got one of the short stories, Notes from the Dog Walkers, deconstructs horror and publishing, possibly bringing in a character from A Head Full of Ghosts, all the while serving as a prequel to Disappearance at Devil's Rock. The 13th Temple follows another character from A Head Full of Ghosts, Mary, who has published a tell-all memoir written years after the events of the novel.
All right. Yeah. I'm down for that.
And it looks like another and one of the other stories, Growing Things. I haven't read Growing Things yet. I haven't read this short story yet. Is a tale loosely shared between the sisters in A Head Full of Ghosts.
Sweet.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, In the title story, Growing Things, is a shivery tale loosely shared between the sisters and a head full of ghosts, is now told here in full. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the story that's telling that. That's a great novel, man, and I cannot wait to see what it looks like on the big screen. I think it is so cinematically written that I did not know that you had a copy of that. I'll have to ask to borrow it, but I'm super jazzed about it because that's a freaking brilliant shared universe.
Yep, I love the stuff. So fantastic. And you said there's going to be a movie, huh?
Yeah, I know for a fact that somebody bought the rights to Head Full of Ghosts. I haven't seen much movement in it as of late, but I absolutely know that they bought the rights to it.
Hey, good stuff.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes shit gets optioned and then never gets made.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. Sometimes it gets made years later. You know, whatever. All right, man. What's what else you got?
All right. So June is at, first off, I guess I should say, I'm only looking at movies that I consider in the summer, which for me is June through August. So I stopped looking at stuff towards the end of August because, I don't know, school's back in session for me the second week of August. So if you got a September movie coming out, that to me is like a Halloween season movie and doesn't count. So that being said, June is a massive month for us horror movie fans because Nightmare Cinema comes out on June 21st as well. Nightmare Cinema is like a conglomeration of different vignettes. It's a series of short films, and I'll read you the kind of tagline for it. Mick Garris directs the linking sequences set in a cinema theater where Mickey Rourke is the projectionist and the audience is lured into view films which feature strangely familiar characters. The Thing in the Woods, directed by Alejandro Brujis, is a pastiche which throws in every cliche from slashers to alien spiders. Mirare, directed by Joe Dante, deals with the weirder aspects of cosmetic surgery, taking it far beyond any logical conclusion. Mash It, directed by Ruhai Kitamura, takes place in a boarding school where staff and pupils are possessed by demons. And This Way to Egress, directed by David Slade, is filmed in dark monochrome. A woman loses touch with reality and seems to have crossed into a frightening parallel universe. Finally, Dead, directed by Mick Garris, is set in a hospital where a boy fights evil spirits and a real-life murder. So, lots of shit going on with this movie. If you look at those directors, they've all had some pretty good credibility. They have decent actors, right? Mm-hmm. It's got Mickey Rourke in it, which is my number one positive for this film. He is a weird, weird dude, but the latest films that he's done have been fantastic. And my only negative here is that the last few anthologies I've seen have been real shitty because the connective tissue that ties them all together is awful.
It's kind of tough, man. It's tough to do an anthology movie. It's like when you've got a movie, when you've got like 90 minutes, right? Sometimes they just go too short and there's just not enough. But then if you go too long, then you don't have enough different stuff to really make it an anthology. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
It's maybe not the best format sometimes. I think that the better format is like the series, kind of like, you know, we got new Twilight Zone coming out. We got Black Mirror, like that kind of stuff. That seems to work a little bit better.
Yeah, Hulu's got one a month that they've been running that is a little bit spotty, but overall I would say pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So the Christmas anthology that I didn't love was called All the Creatures. Or All the Creatures Were Stirring, maybe. I really wanted to like it, but it was not very good. Like one of the vignettes was good and everything else was kind of garbage. And it just makes me really nervous because when you try to kind of get that analysis all the way through it, it makes it really rough. So I don't know. I think maybe I'm not going to give this a full thumb up.
You haven't even seen it. You can't give it a full anything yet, man. Come on.
I mean, I know, but like anticipatory, you know, like I'm, I'm a little nervous about this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird because with like with a movie anthology like that, it seems like if you've got some that are not so good and a couple that are good and maybe one that's great, that great one doesn't really make up for the other ones. But when you get to reading an anthology of short stories, man, there's like some anthologies that have been like my favorite, and I'll go back and I'll like look at, be like, oh yeah, I read this like 4 or 5 years ago. This was like this was awesome. I thought this was great. There's like one story in there that I remember like vividly. Oh, yeah. This was so great. And then there's a whole bunch of other ones that I'm like, oh, did I read that? You know, and I look at it and yeah. I read the first couple. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, that was pretty good or whatever. It's like, it just seems like that the really good stuff in a written anthology totally makes up for the stuff that was just okay, you know?
Well, and I think the desire to create that connective tissue, that story in between the greater stories, sometimes does everyone a disservice. Because I am thinking of like this series on Netflix, Love, Death, Robots, where every episode is different. Every episode is in a different animation style. Every like story has a different kind of genre to it, and there's no connective tissue. It's just they all have probably love or death or robots in them,
mm-hmm.
and chances are they have all three. And like I don't know, they don't feel nailed down to trying to create a unified theory of all of their existence. So I think maybe sometimes they do too much. But at the same time, the fact that Mickey Rourke is that connective tissue, okay, all right, I'll let Mickey Rourke
be your connective tissue. I thought yeah. I mean, I saw him in the Wrestler. He's got a lot of it. All right, yeah. So let's talk about some anthologies that are coming out, collections that are coming out this
perfect
this summer, both by Ellen Datlow. First, Best Horror of the Year, Volume 11. We've talked about this ad infinitum. It's awesome. It's a must read. If you're into short horror, you gotta pick that one up. Also, and that's all horror that was printed in 2018. So this is, it's new stuff. It's cutting edge. It's a lot of stuff. And she scours all of these, you know, different anthologies and small press like zines, and like she reads all kinds of stuff, and it reads from magazines that are not specifically horror. So if you're a big horror fan, what you wind up getting is like some horror from places that you would not normally have frequented. That's what makes it awesome. And hey, it's got that story I was telling you about by Joe Hill in it. That's freaking awesome. And you can pick
no
it up.
Way. That's
yeah.
Cool.
And you can get it there instead of having to go to Flight or Fright and I don't know, pick up a whole bunch of other stuff. Some of those stories are good, but like at least you don't have to read that really terrible story from Stephen King. Anyways, later in the summer, so that's coming out in June. Later in the summer, in August, you can pick up Echoes, a saga anthology of ghost stories edited by Ellen Datlow. It's all going to be ghost stories, so that's the connective tissue there. That looks really good too, and you can pre-order them both together on Amazon. Link in the show notes.
This is what I will tell you about Best Horror of the Year, at least this volume. I think it's got a lot of the heavy hitters, right? It's got Joe Hill and John Langan and that kind of stuff. And those writers who we absolutely adore, who are kind of the big name folks. But I have been impressed with the writers that I haven't necessarily heard of before, that are just doing amazing things. So I'm just generally really impressed with the quality of work in this one. I'm only about halfway through it, but I wouldn't say there is one that I'm like, why is this here? You know, and not that I am like that in years past, but there have been some that I could have skipped, you know, that left me as soon as I got done reading them. And I think I've dwelled on every single one of that. And I'll have to check out Echoes because I'm sure it is just as sharp as she usually is in selecting the stuff for it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm not a particularly like huge fan of like ghost stories or whatever, but I'm just knowing her and the kind of stuff that she likes, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's not your traditional ghost story where there's like, oh, what was that banging around in the attic? You know, that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
He was a ghost the whole time, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right, right. There is a certain amount of like maybe nostalgia or old timey feel or whatever that it brings that I don't mind, but I don't find it particularly horrifying, and I find it a little glurgy from time to time, but I trust Datlow enough to like, she could come up with like, I don't know, this is my horror anthology all about, you know, used coffee filters. And I'd be like, oh shit, that's going to be awesome. Yeah. You know? I mean, like, yeah, that, I bet that's scary. You know,
I'm down for that. Yeah.
Right, right. Exactly. So I'm ready to take a look at what she's going to be providing us.
All right, buddy. What else do you have on the, oh boy, you got something interesting coming up on the movie front.
I do. I think this is going to be one that you and I kind of argue about.
Uh-huh.
On June 26th, Annabelle Comes Home comes out.
Great.
The log line, okay? The line the lovely folks over at IMDb have told us. Determined to keep Annabelle from wreaking more havoc, demonologist Ed and Lorraine Warren bring the possessed doll to the locked artifacts room in their home, placing her safely behind sacred glass and enlisting a priest's holy blessing. But an unholy night of horror awaits as Annabelle awakens the evil spirits in the room, who all set their sights on a new target, the Warren's 10-year-old daughter Judy and her friends. What do you think, Mike?
Lame. I don't know. I'm not into any more of that Conjuring stuff. I'm done with that. Sorry.
What's the last movie that you saw?
I don't remember, dude. It was like, it was the one where everybody was, it was like the prequel one, I think. I don't know. It's like all confusing, and now there's a doll, and I'm just not into it, so.
Well, I hated The Nun, okay? In fact, we'll link to my review of it. It's not very good. It's not. I mean, it's just not. I know there are some people that are like, no, you know, it's like nunsploitation. It's not. No, it's not. Like, that shit's kind of cool and interesting and, you know, serves a particular time period. But
it was popular down here in South America. Las Monjas.
Yeah. Is that how you said it?
Yeah.
All right. But I really enjoyed The Conjuring 1 and The Conjuring 2. I thought they were both excellent. And more importantly, Annabelle Creation, which was the second movie in the Annabelle, you know, whatever, was actually pretty good, I thought. It was interesting and had some stuff to say. So, like, I think we are trending in the right direction here. So here is what I wrote down when I was kind of ranking everything and looking at everything. The upside to this movie is that it was described as Night at the Museum if it were a horror movie. I think that sounds pretty cool. And that reminds me of this movie made in the 80s called Waxworks, which is terrible and campy.
Yeah, but I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I loved that movie. Okay. So I'm like, even if it is a tiny bit, a little bit like Waxworks, I'm down for it. I'm ready to see it. But my downside is, like, I fell asleep twice in The Nun, and it was not interesting. So I am, again, cautiously optimistic about this film.
All right, so look, I got it. There's these two movies coming out about, like, creepy dolls or whatever. If you want some creepy fiction about creepy dolls, you got to check out this book that's coming out, that just came out, that's on Kindle, called Mannequin, Tales of Wood-Made Flesh.
Oh, shit. I have heard that. I've seen it floating around Facebook. Who's producing it?
Silent Motorist Media. I haven't read it, but I do know that three or four of the authors that are involved, it's an anthology, right? So three or four of the authors involved are like freaking fantastic. John Padgett.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ramsey Campbell.
Oh, fuck. I mean, legend.
Yeah. I heard maybe Matthew Bartlett. Right. But
yes.
But yeah, I, right. But I can't confirm that right now. And Michael Wehunt. He's pretty good.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Wehunt's hilarious.
So we got definitely like if you got some all-stars in an anthology, I'm going to go out and buy it. So there we go. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
And I guarantee it's going to be creepy and not campy.
All right. I'm down for that. And freaking mannequins are the scariest of the doll-like things. They're like human-sized and devoid of any kind of facial features. So
I know they're creepy, dude. It says featuring tales of dolls, mannequins, statues, and other varieties of humanoid horror. Mannequin explores the intersection between artificiality and life through a stunning variety of writers, both established and new.
You know, when you first said it, I thought it was like fanfic from the 1987 film Mannequin. That was my favorite movie growing up.
Dude, if I buy this and there is no homage to that movie in it, I gotta tell you, I'm gonna be a little disappointed.
Me just too. I'll be way disappointed. Yeah. You know, like I believe it's been probably since 1987 since I've seen it. But like I think the theory is the store has to be closed to like for the mannequin to come alive or some shit. I don't know, some vehicle there. That could be some scary ass shit, man.
Dude, that would be horrific. That would be like I could see that being one of those kind of throwaway 80s feel good movies that was like, if you look at this through just a slightly different perspective, it's a fucking horror movie.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, let's zoom ahead to my favorite movie, I think, of the summer. The one that I'm looking forward to the most, okay? Ari Aster, that sounds right, who directed last year's summer horror movie Hereditary, is back this year with a movie called Midsummer, which comes out on July 3rd. And the logline for it is, the story follows a young couple visiting an isolated Swedish village. Over the course of their vacation, they discover that its residents participate in an eccentric set of seasonal traditions. The recent death of the main character's parents cast a sense of dread over the entire proceedings. I am freaking out at how heavy this leans into the folk horror element. And I think just over the last season of the Horror Podcast, people can probably guess that both you and I are big folk horror fans. And this leans so heavy into it that I don't know. When I was painting this out, when I was looking at the upside and the downside, it's like the upside is it's folk horror. The upside is it's got this weird levity to it that just makes it even more terrifying. The upside is that it's, you know, Ari Aster. I don't see a downside to this movie, Mike. Have you seen any of the trailers for it?
It does look awesome. Trailers look great. Well, I'll put a link to the show notes to one of the trailers. But yeah, looks good. I can't wait. I mean, after Hereditary, I'd follow this guy anywhere. You could be like, hey, I'm making a remake of 1987 movie The Mannequin. I'd be like, sold. I'll go see that. Yeah,
that's some creepy shit.
Yeah, yeah. Trailers look terrible. Reviews are awful. I'm still there. You know,
right? I'm there as like at the midnight showing. Yeah. Well, and if you look at the art, not even the trailer, but the art, it is like, it looks like a concert advertisement. Like, come check this out. But it's just a series of terrifying like band names that allude to the creepy ass shit that's going to go down during the movie. So, I mean, the marketing is brilliant. The idea is brilliant. The subgenre is brilliant. I don't know. This is it. Like, yeah, this is the one I'm the most excited about, I think.
Out of the whole summer, the most excited.
I think so. I mean, I'm looking at the rest of my list, and there's other shit that I'm, and like, am excited to see, and like, could be kind of fun, and is going to be a lot of fun to talk about, you know, as we see it. But this one, and maybe my expectations are too high, and we've seen what happens when expectations are too high, but I think this is just 100% my jam.
Score. Yeah, I'm there. This will probably be one of the very few movies that I do see. Actually, I'll be back in the U.S. to see this. That'd be great.
Hey, maybe you and I can see this. This movie comes out, I think, while we are both hosting the first week of Zombie 101. We should check it out.
Score, we're going to go check it out. All right, man. You want to hear another book?
Tell me about another book.
All right, here's another book. I got to say something about this because I think it's pretty interesting. I like Subterranean Press. They put out really great, like limited edition signed hard copies of great books. But I got to throw this out. Have you heard of Fire and Blood, George R. R. Martin's next book?
No.
This is a like a history of the Targaryens before.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like the prequel book. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So, Subterranean Press has got, check this out. Okay. They've got two different ones. All right. They've got the signed, lettered, bound in leather, housed in a custom tray case, $1,000 limited edition to 52 copies, like big baller book, sold out. $1,000 sold out already.
Wow.
They've also got 750 signed, numbered hardcover copies housed in a custom slipcase, not in leather, not the cool guy ones. 325 of those are still available. It's coming out fall 2019. But you got to act this summer if you want to get one.
Wow. And do you think those will sell out too?
Oh yeah, they'll totally sell out. I said that there were 325 still available. They are $325, and as of recording this, they're still available.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that $1,000 and they've snapped them up just like that.
There was only 52 of them, but you know.
Well, I know, but still.
Yeah.
Jeez.
They looked awesome though. You got to check out some pictures. They looked freaking awesome.
Okay. No, I mean, I think that's horror adjacent. I'll buy that.
Yeah. All right.
Like the Targaryens were scary ass people. They fucking burned people alive and shit.
True that. Right? Yeah, true that. So also, I'm going to throw another one out there. I'm going to double up on this one.
Do it.
All right. I'm also into some signed limited edition charitable chat books from Nightscape Press. And the second one, If It Bleeds by Matthew Bartlett. You like Matthew and Bartlett, right? You
read some of this? Yeah. He's awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
That is already out and sold out and copy shipped and all that, not going to be printed again, but you can get the ebook of it coming out this summer. It looks like August 27th, right at the end of summer. Okay. You'll be able to buy the charitable chat book e-copy for a couple bucks on Amazon. And this title will contribute to the Dakin Humane Society, where Matthew and his wife adopted their lovely cat, Peach Pie.
Peach Pie.
Yeah.
And he talks about Peach Pie a lot.
And that is a killer story right there.
Have you read it?
I have, yeah. I read it very carefully so that I didn't bend up my perfect copy of If It Bleeds. But it's great. And I'll put a link to the show notes in the show notes to a review that we do have up about it.
Great. Very good. Okay, well, moving quickly along movie-wise, maybe I'll do two because I think I have more movies than you have books. So we have a Killer Croc movie that comes out July 12th. It looks really silly and scary and fun, and it's about like a killer crocodile during like it's a flood of some kind. It could be like a hurricane. And I dig it. It's just like a big creature film that harkens back to big creature films, maybe from the 90s. So I had Upside, Deep Blue Sea, because I love that freaking movie. It has a ton of fun. It's got Ice-T in it that is hilarious. I think it's Ice-T. I always confuse Ice-T and Ice Cube. But my downside is Lake Placid, which is another big crocodile or big alligator movie that is not my favorite. It's got Bette Davis saying fuck in it, and that's like the best thing to it. So, big creature film called Crawl, out July 12th. And then we have the horror adaptation of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. It comes out August 8th. It is by the director Andre Overdahl, who we have done on the Horror Podcast before, one of his movies, one of my favorites, Autopsy of Jane Doe, which is excellent. If you look at all of the previews, it looks like a family horror movie, which I know can sometimes be an oxymoron, but in the Unsel household, where the 3-year-old knows how to say zombie and the 12-year-old, like, you know, is dying to see It Volume 2, that's music to my ears. You know, that means maybe we can all check it out. So it seems a little lighter in heart, but I'm super jazzed about seeing it.
Well, let me tell you this. I was on a plane with my kids a couple weeks ago, and I said, oh, we're getting ready to take off. You have to put up your little sunshade on your window. You got to put that up. And my daughter says, well, why? And I said, oh, well, you know, you got to put it up in case there's an emergency. You know, so that the flight attendant can, you know, look out the window. And my daughter says, oh, so she can see if there's a monster on the wing? I said, exactly.
That's great. You are raising her correct.
I tell you what, though, man. This, very excited about this because Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark was really, that was like the first, like, horror book that I ever read when I was like in second grade or something. And it was, it freaked me out. It was scary. Oh man. A lot of nostalgia value right there. Way more than like Child's Play or like, I don't know, some of the other nostalgia stuff that we talked about. This is where it's going to be for me.
Yep. We have a great write-up. We'll link to it in our show notes about the illustrations and combining the illustrations with which monsters we want to see in the movie. It's a really interesting article and really highlights the art of those books because it is horrifying and unlike anything else that you will see. So it's pretty awesome. And I like Andre Overdahl. I have faith that he's going to be able to produce something that is really cool. Have you seen Troll Hunter?
No.
That's his first one, and it's found footage, and it's fucking great. It's not campy. It's not great because it's like, you know, sometimes we say like, oh, horror movies have this camp element. It's just a really fun film. It's not campy. It's not asking itself not to be taken serious, but it has this kind of whimsical nature to it. I think you would really like it, but that, I believe, is the first film he ever directed.
Very cool. All right, man, you ready for another book?
Hit me up.
All right. Bram Stoker Award winner Tim Wagner has a book coming out this summer called They Kill. So I really like Tim Wagner because I've picked up a couple of his short stories in Vestarian, which is fantastic. Journal that everyone should subscribe to. But I've read some of his stuff before. His stuff there really, really impressed me. This is a novel, and I just started reading it. I'm probably about 50 pages in, and I'll give you a little bit about what they say about it on Amazon. Sarah Sowell's dead brother Jeffrey is resurrected by a mysterious man known only as Corliss. Corliss also transforms four people in Sierra's life into inhuman monsters determined to kill her. Sierra and Jeffrey's boyfriend Mark work to discover the reason for her brother's return to life while struggling to survive attacks by this monstrous quartet. I will tell you this. The thing that sticks out most to me about this particular novel is that Tim Wagoner's got a really good handle on how to describe people that are realistic in the ways that they are just terrible, that they're just being terrible people. And it's kind of like, you know, if you followed somebody around for, they always say, if a police officer followed us, every one of us around 24/7, we'd all be in prison, right?
Sure.
Okay. And it's kind of that same thing. It's like, oh yeah, oh, this guy doesn't sound like that bad of a guy. But you follow around for a long time, and it's like, oh man, yeah, just another shitbag like everybody else in the world. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, great, super powerful writer, very, very interesting novel. Like I said, I'm only about a quarter of the way through it. It's going to be coming out July 25th from Flame Tree Press. That's a hard one to say.
Yeah, they do great shit though. They really do. I got a bunch of their arcs, maybe 6 weeks ago, eight weeks ago, and I just loved everything they produced. So, Flame Tree is one of those smaller presses that if you haven't already, it should totally be on your radar.
Totally, totally ought to be.
All right, we're moving quickly into August. August 2nd, The Nightingale comes out. The Nightingale is Jennifer Kent's newest movie. Jennifer Kent, you will remember as the director of The Queer Icon because it is Pride Month, right? So we got to give a shout out. There is a really cool Pride-oriented DVD release that I believe Scream Factory is doing of The Babadook, which I think is awesome. But Teresa Kent was the director of that movie, and we talked about it here on the Horror Podcast and loved it. So I'm really excited to see what The Nightingale looks like. The Nightingale is described quickly as, set in 1825, Claire, a young Irish convict woman, chases a British officer through the rugged Tasmanian wilderness, bent on revenge for a terrible act of violence he committed against her family. On the way, she enlists the services of an Aboriginal tracker named Billy, who is also marked by trauma from his own violence-filled past. There were a bunch of people that screened it at TIFF last weekend that said it was fantastic, but also really tough to watch from time to time. Hmm. So my upside is going to be that it's Jennifer Kent, and I love Babadook. My downside is it seems really, really, really intense. So hopefully as a period piece that's super intense, it, it ends up being as good as folks say it's that it is. So
awesome. I'm down, dude. Sounds good. Yeah.
Again, and it's a period piece. The big thing, at least with my family, if I want to get my wife to watch it, if I say period piece and then I'm like, it's kind of horror-y, right? Then she's like, I love period pieces. I will totally watch this. So seems good.
Yeah, but isn't that how you had to watch Downton Abbey?
I did not watch Downton Abbey.
Oh, really?
Have you seen Downton Abbey?
I've seen a couple episodes. It's very good. It's very good. It's quality. Yeah.
I did watch bits and pieces of the weird time traveler piece that's my wife watched it right after she watched. Oh, man. I'm sure there is a fan on here that will correct me, but it's set in Ireland. I believe there is a butt ton of sex and
time travel
Yeah. But it's set like in Braveheart time, I think. I don't know. Oh. I did watch an episode or two of that, and I had no clue what was going on, but I wanted to be involved. So.
All right. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. Please tell us what that is, whatever that show is.
Yeah. I got no idea. All right. Back to books. June 18th. Mine is not in any particular order. I know you put yours in order. I did not put mine in order. A Spectral Hue by Craig Lawrence Gidney, June 18th, from Word Horde. Definitely going to be a quality novel right there. We've got a brand new review of it that's going to be up on Signal Horizon. I just love like Word Horde, like in general. They put out some fantastic stuff. They seem to have a high tolerance for risk over there. They really kind of swing for the fences every time that they put out a novel. It's going to be something that is new and interesting, right? It's not going to be the same old rehash stuff. Really excited about this one. It is about it's kind of about artists. It's a horror about artists, which I think sounds pretty cool. And I'm a total sucker for. If horror about artists, about filmmakers, about photographers, about, you know, any of that kind of like meta stuff, I'm in every time.
Yeah, man. And he was at the Weird Symposium.
Oh, was he really? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. He served on a couple of panels and is a fascinating guy and as kind as you could possibly imagine. So I wanted to read the novel just because he did a reading from some of it, and the town that it takes place in sounds fascinating. The world that he creates there is really intriguing and engaging. So you have this really nice guy that writes this really interesting fiction about a diverse and complex place that I want to spend time in. I've been looking forward to The Spectral Hue for a while.
Shit, fantastic then.
Well, moving back into movies, on August 16th, we have the sequel, 47 Meters Down. And I am just okay with this movie. So 47 Meters Down was the original. This is 47 Meters Down Uncaged. And the original was okay. And the premise is there's like this group, that couple of people that go out in the shark cage, and the shark cage gets detached from the boat and sinks to the bottom of the ocean, right? And so they have a specific amount of air and specific amount of time, obviously, to try to get out while these sharks are trying to get them.
Are they like in scuba gear?
Yeah, they have some scuba gear. There's some gimmicky stuff that happens. I'm not going to spoil the movie for you, but this is a killer shark movie. That's clearly what it's going to be. It's okay. I don't know. The one sheet is really cool. I guess I've read the log line for everything else, so I should read it for this. 14 girls diving in a ruined underwater city quickly learn they've entered the territory of the deadliest shark species in the claustrophobic labyrinth of submerged caves. I don't know, man. I'm not
into shark movies. Like Sharknado, just that was it. That was after you've seen that, you don't need to see any more.
Right, exactly. They've already done it.
Yeah.
So my upside was, I don't know. My downside was I didn't like 47 Meters Down that much. So yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Plus, that's all I got.
Plus, I mean, it's in metric. Really? You're going to market a movie in the United States and it's in metric? Come on, man.
Right.
Come on.
You assholes.
Yeah.
We fought a war so we didn't have to advertise it that way.
I know. It would be like, oh, instead of calling it 28 mile, they call it like 37.5 kilometers. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. All right. I got one more book for you. Got one more book for you. It's called Un-America.
Ooh.
Cool name. It's from Cody Goodfellow. You know who he is?
I have heard of Cody Goodfellow.
I've read some of his stuff. It's kind of bonkers. He writes a lot of different genres. I don't even know if this is horror, right? But it's coming out June 7th. And so by the time you listen to this, it's probably already out. Cool. It sounds awesome. Here's the description. Buried a half a mile beneath the desert. In this, they put it in standard, not in metric. Buried half a mile beneath the desert sands.
0.67 kilometers. Yes. Okay, I got you.
of the U.S.-Mexico border exists a secret city that holds the promise of everything that draws refugees and immigrants to America: liberty, luxury, and excess. In this terminal autonomous zone, two prophets will arise. One, a reckless seeker who believes the psychedelic mushrooms he's discovered will spur a revolution of human consciousness. The other, a fire and brimstone preacher endowed by strange angels with a power that heals the sick and raises the dead. As the rival factions emerge around them, a march toward war begins.
Fuck yes! Boom. That sounds great.
Yeah.
It harkens back to the very, like, best parts of The Stand. It's got some post-apocalyptic stuff to it.
It's got magic mushrooms.
Magic mushrooms and religious revivalism. Come on.
It's got standard units of measurement. Boom. I'm in all the things that I love. Yeah.
We're very easy.
Yeah.
Okay. So the last movie I have doesn't have a release date yet. It's coming on Shudder sometime this summer. The minute it drops, you have to watch it as soon as humanly possible. It's called One Cut of the Dead. It is found footage. It is zombie. It is comedy. It is, after the first 30 minutes of the film, a fundamentally different picture than you think you signed up for. I saw it in a packed theater. It was probably the best cinematic experience I have had the entire year, maybe with the exception of John Wick 3, which I saw in a packed theater and like everybody was super into it. So it's just a great vibe to it. This movie, I have not laughed as hard. I have not felt as good about, and Shudder bought it. The good news for all of you is that Shudder is an incredible streaming service, and you can get 30 days free simply by using the promo code Signal. They have been great to partner with us to make sure that all of the wonderful people that listen to the Horror Podcast can get that 30 days free. So check it out. Like, I would just buy the service, period. But if you're waiting, like, this movie has to be the first thing that you watch when you sign up for it, because it is fan-freaking-tastic. It doesn't have a release date yet, but they promised me over there it will be sometime this summer.
Awesome. And if it doesn't come out this summer, Tyler is to blame.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
shit. Totally. Blame me for whatever. Yeah, I'm pretty easy when it comes to that.
All right, cool. All right, so you liked it. You laughed. You cried. It hit you in the feels. It was just all around good movie. All
right,
cool.
Right. So upside is it's a zombie comedy, right? Downside is if you just watch the first 30 minutes, you'll be like, I don't get it. But if you wait 50, then the world opens up to you and you will fucking smile for days if you give it to that, like, it's really about minute 45 or 50. And then you're like, yes. Okay. I understand.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right. I'm going to wrap it up with my with my most anticipated book of the summer. It's from Nicole Cushing. It's called A Sick Gray Laugh. You know that I love Nicole Cushing stuff. I've read like all of her stuff. And I would follow her wherever. All right. She could write whatever. I would buy it and I'd love it. Sick Gray Laugh. I know literally nothing about it other than what it says on Word Horde's website. It's a novel about madness, depression, history, utopian cults, literature, sports, and all the ways we struggle to stay sane in an insane world.
Hmm. Okay.
Yep. Her stuff's awesome.
I'm down for staying sane in an insane world.
I've already lost my shit. But anyways, no, this is gonna be really good. This is one of the authors that you need to be watching out for. And I heard through the grapevine that not me, but one of our contributors over at Signal Horizon has got an advanced copy, and I'm super super excited to see what he has to say about it.
I love it. Awesome. Well, we'll all have to check that out. Okay, so we got through what we're excited about this summer. here is the game I think we should play. It's a little bit difficult for us to do it with books. Otherwise, I would say let's do it with books. So let's do it with movies. Let's say using the cutoff of August 31st, let's each pick a movie that we think will gross the most between, you know, this episode will drop sometime between June 6th, 7th, or 8th, right? So June 8th and August 31st. Each of us will pick a movie. The winner gets to make the other one watch whatever they want that is, under 3 hours. Does that make sense?
No, this is all very confusing. Why don't we just say which movie has the best, or has the biggest opening weekend?
Oh, opening weekend. All right. Okay, I'm down for that. Okay, so which movie we think will gross the most Thursday through Sunday? Yeah? That's what we define as an opening weekend.
Well, no, the opening weekend is just the weekend that it opens. Like if it...
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, whatever, man. All right, cool. I think it's going to be Midsummer.
I am going to pick... Hold on. I got to look at my list. I'm taking this shit serious now. I think it will be Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Good stuff. You know why I picked Midsummer? I think Hereditary grossed a lot of money, and it's July 4th weekend.
I mean, I think that's true, but it's hard R. Not that really matters. Mm-hmm. I think we both could be wrong, because I think fucking Annabelle could be the spoiler here.
I think it probably will, yeah. Or that Child's Play movie. But anyways.
No, nobody's going to see that. I don't think. Anyways, all right. All right, so this is the last episode of season 2. You could call this our sophomore year if you wanted to, of the Horror Podcast. Next time you talk to us, we are going to be talking to you live from Zombie 101. We are super excited to bring our own kind of brand of critical thinking and film analysis to this great group of high school kids that we're going to have again this year. So we encourage everybody to go read something, go talk about horror, engage with us on all of our different social media. But we just wanted to say thanks so much for joining us this entire season. It's been wonderful to hear back from all of the fans and all of the folks that are following us, and we look forward to season 3.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm excited to be out there at Zombie 101 also, and Patreon members can join us too virtually. There will be a special Zombie 101 Slack password feed log on. I don't know. Tyler takes care of all
channel?
That kind of stuff. Channel. That's what they call it. You'll get live updates about Zombie 101, what we're reading, what we're talking about, what kind of lessons that we've got planned for that particular day. It's going to be awesome. So that's going to go out to all Patreon members.
Starting July 1, yeah.
Starting July 1. So until then.
School's out for summer.
No, sing it. Dude, you can't sing. Come on.
You're right. I can't. All right. Class dismissed.